Item four, ahead of schedule, guide license for Columbia River Recreational Fisheries. This is a briefing. So, Mr. Burley, sir, and Mr. Kern.
You agree? Carry on, good sirs.
Good afternoon, Chair Smith, Chair Finley, Commissioners, Director Susewind, and Director Melcher. For the record, my name is Craig Burley. I'm the Fish Management Division Manager for Washington.
Whether I'm awesome or not, I'm Chris Kern from Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife.
So today we'd like to talk with you about the guide licenses for the Columbia River and for the recreational fisheries. And what we'd like to do is talk about the licensing authority and limitations for the two states, a bit of history around guide license numbers, some information around the guide boat catch, and then leave some time for commissioner's discussion. So in Washington State, we have two types of licenses. We have charter licenses and we have guide licenses. Charter licenses are required to fish in certain areas of the state, including a limitation in the Columbia River and those waters below the Longview Bridge. And within the charter licenses, there are two types. There's a salmon charter license and a non-salmon charter license. The salmon charter license is a limited entry. There was a limitation placed on the number of salmon charter licenses in the 1970s. And those licenses allow the operator to take people for hire to fish for salmon and other food fish or shellfish. And then the other charter license is a non-salmon charter license. This authorizes the operator to take folks for hire for food fish other than salmon or albacore tuna. The other group of licenses that the state of Washington has are guide licenses, and there are a couple of types there. There's a food fish guide license. And this allows the operator to fish for food fish species. These are salmon, sturgeon, bottom fish. In the food fish guide license, however, there's a limitation in the Columbia River, and these licenses are only good for in Columbia River above the Longview Bridge, and it does exclude the other locations that are authorized under the charter license. The second type of guide license is game fish guide license, and this is required in Washington state waters for game fish species. These are steelhead, trout, warm water species. And then in 2016, our legislature passed a law that allowed for a fishing guide combination license that allowed a operator to purchase this combination license that would allow them to fish for both food fish and game fish with the limitations that are with those respective licenses.
Thanks. And so in Oregon, as you may know, things are a little different. In Oregon, the licensing of fishing guides is done through the Oregon State Marine Board, not through ODFW. And so I worked with Marine Board staff to summarize some of the rules so that we could build this presentation. The Marine Board process doesn't have specific registrations for guides that are similar to Washington's, in other words, for area and species or type of fishing. They're simply a guide versus a charter license. And they're primarily organized their registration types based on the number of passengers that are on the vessel and the types of licensing and inspections that are required, particularly U.S. Coast Guard issues as well. So next one. There was a rule change under the Marine Board's guide program in 2014, and I've got some data we'll show a little bit that's affected by that change. I'll get into the weeds on that a little later, but you'll see some of that in a bit. The current process is that an Oregon charter is defined as a vessel that carries seven or more passengers, and an outfitter guide is the category for folks that carry less than seven, so six or fewer. To operate in the Pacific or the Columbia River downstream of Longview of the Longview Bridge Oregon requires a charter guide decal, and that refers to the level of inspection they must have. And so what that does is that's a piece of data we can mine to get the total number of guide licenses that could fish those areas. It doesn't mean they do. There may be other reasons they hold that license, and it doesn't specify whether it's Pacific, Ocean, Columbia River, or both. Additionally, the outfitters supply generally with their registration a listing of the areas they're going to offer services in. That's mostly a marketing, here's where I operate sort of thing, so that it's searchable for customers. It's not a regulatory. In other words, if they don't specify an area, it doesn't mean they can't go there. If they do specify an area, it doesn't mean they did go there. So it's not a regulatory issue. It's just an indication. But I'll show you some of the numbers for that in a bit. It gives us a little bit of insight into the area specificity, but it's not precise. So I just want to lay that out first, and I think we're back to...
So moving to the license sales, now this figure here shows information in terms of licenses sold from 2012 to 2017. And the color-coded bars, the green are salmon charter licenses, the yellow are the non-salmon charter licenses, the light blue are game fish licenses, and light blue is the game fish licenses, and then there's the sort of a gray bar that starts to appear in 2016, and that's the combination guide license. And what you can see here when you look at the charter licenses in the light green, these show the active licenses. There's 142 salmon charter licenses in Washington. They are not required to fish those every year. They can pay a waiver fee and hold those licenses without participating. So these numbers here show the active salmon charter licenses. And then the yellow and light blue bars, the food fish, game fish guide licenses, you can see those numbers around the 500 licenses for the game fish, and then just above 300 there for the food fish licenses. You can see in 2016 that those numbers dropped as people opted to purchase the combination guide license in 2016-2017. Also, I would point out that in 2017, the department funded a survey with responsive management to ask guides where they fished for, where they participated in their fishery, and just over 38% of the guides indicated that they fished on the Columbia River. And this was not specific just to the lower Columbia River, but rather Columbia River wide. And then I wanted to show this slide. This shows for each of the three guide licenses the relationship of resident licenses and non-resident licenses in Washington. So the light green bars are the resident licenses sold, and the red bars are non-resident licenses for each of those license type.
Thanks, Craig. So as I mentioned, there was a change in the regulations for Marine Board licenses in 2014. In order to try and create a time series that was still 2012 to current, had to do a little bit of math. So I worked with Marine Board on their data for this. So prior to 2014, many of the folks that we would currently classify as guides under the 2014 to current rule were actually registered as charters. And I can't tell you the details of that, but it's got to do with just the change in criteria. So what I did is I looked at the number of folks who are registered as charters under the current definition. And that's about 67 on average for the four most recent years. And I said, if we take that back to 2012 and 13, and said those folks were still around, what's the difference? And so the orange bar represents the number of, well, let me back that up a different way. The yellow bar represents those folks that are registered as charters and probably were equivalent to that in 2012 and 13. Orange is the back calculated estimate of how many of the folks who were actually registered as a charter under the pre-2014 definition, but probably were more like a guide under the current definition. So the long and short of it is, in order to estimate the number of guides in 2014 terms in 2012 and 13, I'd like you to add mentally up the blue and the orange, and you'll get about 300 on average, somewhere in there. In 2014, and these are statewide numbers, so this isn't specific to area or anything. Since 2014, there's a different category, as I described before, and so those blue bars are there, and that's more of around 500, up to 500 folks. These are the people who hold the proper registration and certification in order to be legally allowed in Oregon to fish in either the ocean or the lower Columbia below Longview Bridge. As I said before, doesn't mean they do, and it doesn't mean that they fish one or the other or both, but this is the maximum, basically. And I think that is the gist for this slide. I also wanted to look at resident versus non-resident. This is the most recent year of data available. And that graph is not as large as I thought it might show up. The leftmost bars are Oregon residents that are registered as guides in Oregon, again, statewide. Then it goes to Washington guides, or Washington residents registered as Oregon guides. The third series is Idaho, then California, and then a mix of others, including Montana and some other states with a one or two persons apiece kind of thing. The blue bar is the total number of registrations. The yellow is the number of those registrations that also indicated they fished the Columbia, the lower Columbia. And so this is a different category than the registration decal I mentioned on the prior slide. This is more of the marketing category where somebody registered and says, and I fished the lower Columbia. They may also say they fish the upper Columbia, the Willamette, the coast, a number of other places, and it's non-regulatory. You can't see the numbers very well, so there's 1,159 statewide registrations represented in that graph for all states of residency. 1,005 of those are in the Oregon category, and of the 1,005 in the Oregon category, 173 listed the lower Columbia as an area of operation. Of interest maybe is the Washington box. There's 72 total registrants there, residents of Washington that register under an Oregon guide license, and of those, 49 listed at Lower Columbia as an area of operation. The other numbers are pretty small, so I wasn't planning on going into them, but you can get a sense of that. I'm going to take that one too, yeah. The Oregon Commission, let me catch up here. I'll have to look over your shoulder. This has been a graph that was presented in the March 2018 packet, I believe, for the Oregon Commission, and it represents the basically an estimate of catch on guided vessels versus non-guided vessels in the Buoy 10 fishery for a number of years. And the real take-home is that there. I am just blind. The hatched bar is, I believe, the proportion of effort, angler effort, that is attributable to folks fishing on guide boats, whereas the dark bar is the catch associated with those folks. And so you'll see in the leftmost bar, they're fairly even. proportional to each other. But as in the other bars, you'll see a higher proportion of the aggregate catch attributable to those trips when compared to their effort. This is something that's doable with the buoy 10 sampling methodology. We're able to tease those out. It's less doable with the main stem creel sampling protocol we use now. So this is what we have at the moment. But again, this is, I think, familiar to Oregon. It may be less so to the Washington Commission. So.
Thanks, Chris. And I wanted to add, in Washington, our agency has been looking at the guide issue, and our legislature has provided a proviso for the department to look at guide licensing statewide. There were concerns relative to effort and in specific areas around the state by guide effort. And so the department's considering a proposal for a guide logbook that we'd be bringing to our Washington Commission this spring. And what that would do is it would allow the department to collect specific information on effort and catch by guides in geographic locations, so that we could gather the information to understand what that effort is around the state and look at any appropriate management actions at that point. And so that would conclude our presentation, and we'd entertain any questions or commission discussion.
Commissions.
Yes, Mr. Grable.
Chris, you mentioned this last slide, the gray and black slide, that you were able to get that information through your buoy 10 protocol. And what does that mean? Do you have logbooks, or is this based on creel at the docks?
Commissioner Grable, my understanding is this is from the creel interviews at the docks. Yes, so it's both the effort breakout from interviews at the dock as well as the catch from a boat as it comes in.
Right.
Yeah.
And Craig, I know we're talking about introducing a logbook program for guides pretty much statewide, both on the Columbia River and other tributaries, and even the Olympic Peninsula, where I think the request for those came from. Do you think we would get different information through a logbook program than what we have now, or would it just expand our base of knowledge?
Thank you, Commissioner Graybill. The creel data that we have now is very limited in the lower Columbia. And in Washington, we are having this question asked about guide effort statewide, and so we don't have the manpower available to do that type of creel broadly in the state. So a logbook program would allow us to gather that information directly from the guides, and it would be much, much more accurate.
What is the attitude of the guides? I know you've had several public meetings on this concept, and what is, if you could summarize the reaction from the guide community about a logbook program?
Yes, Commissioner Graybill. So the department undertook an effort a year ago, and there were, I believe, six or so public meetings around the state where we met with our guide community. And we really heard a mixed response to the guide logbook. We did get support. There were some folks that thought that made sense, and then there were other people that had some concerns about the amount of information that we would collect and the impacts that might have on their business on the water. And so our intent would be over the next several months to meet with the guide industry and to develop the appropriate information that we'd need to collect and the way to collect that so that we would minimize any impacts to the guide community.
Yes.
What was the original rationale to limit fishing below the Longview Bridge to the charter fleet only?
Thank you, Commissioner Buckmaster. That was in 1977, I believe. And my understanding is that it was to address a market capitalization of the fleet. So there were a lot of there was a lot of competition for that that industry at the time, and so there was an interest by the charter fleet to limit the entry so that they could maintain sort of a living wage in that industry.
So if it were merely a matter of going across and buying a guide license in Oregon that would enable them to guide below Longview Bridge, did that negate the intent of that? I mean, how did that affect that rule or that policy?
Commissioner Buckmaster, I think in the previous slide that Chris showed, it does show that there are some Washingtonians that are purchasing guide licenses in Oregon, and there I'm aware that there has been some concern raised about that, and that's the differential cost associated with a charter license in Washington versus a guide license in Oregon. There's a, because of the limitation on the charter license, it's much more expensive to purchase.
It looks to be about the same number of Washington salmon charters as Washington purchases of fishing guide registrations. If I'm reading that correctly, Chris, maybe you can help me. 72 and 49, so 120. And it looks like there are about 120 salmon charters in Washington. So I'm missing something here?
In this graph, the yellow is actually a subset of the blue. So they don't get added together in this graph.
So it's a subset.
It is, yeah. So 72 that hold the license, and of the 72, 49 said the Lower Columbia was the area of operations. Now, that doesn't, I want to point out, though, that doesn't mean the other, whatever the difference between those two numbers is, are not allowed to go there. It just means they didn't list it on their registration as an area of operation.
So if they all could.
There's 72 of them would be
fish below.
72 of them would be registered. Sorry, there's another nuance here. 72 of them are registered to fish somewhere in Oregon. This graph actually does not capture whether or not they hold the charter decal that Oregon would require them to fish downstream of the Longview Bridge. And so this slide and the slide prior to it actually are a little different data set. I should have pointed that out. I'm sure that data is available. I don't have it. We should be able to scrounge up how many of the 72 Washington folks hold the charter decal, but by definition, it's not going to be more than 72, if that helps. I may have made it worse, but I was trying.
Yes, Commissioner Anderson.
This is for Chris. So does Oregon have any limits on our charter permits?
Commissioner Akinson, I do not believe there's any limit under Marine Board for how many licenses they will issue. In fact, I'm confident there's not. So.
And does ODFW have any authorization to require reporting like logbooks for guides or charters?
That is an excellent question. I'm not confident of the answer. We don't hold the authority on the licensing side for guides and their activities. We do hold authority to inspect catch. And so when a person comes back to the dock, whether they are on a guide boat or not, they are expected to share the information of their catch with samplers, whether they be from Oregon or Washington. I think that's the same in both cases. But that's about it. Yeah.
Mr. Keir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Questions for Chris. Could you please go back to slide 11? And, it's pretty obvious you look at this slide and you can see over the years there's a steady increase of the guideboat catch for Chinook and Coho. And then you look at slide 9, and you do see, you know, in recent years, some increase, but not as dramatic as the, or consistent, I should say, as the increase for the catch. Just wondering if the department has any explanations as to why that is. One thing that could be, this could be a bias, a data artifact based on changes in the way the creel surveys are done, or is this real? And if it is real, then is there, do you have any ideas of why you're seeing this increase?
Commissioner Kehoe, I could speculate a little bit. We don't know. This, I think, demonstrates that there is, based on the sample data, and this isn't rolled up to an aggregate effect at the fishery level itself. This is really about proportion of effort versus proportion of catch. And so if it was that there was no difference at all between trip type, you would expect those to be pretty much even. They'd be one-to-one. Whether they went up or down, they'd be lined up together. But you're seeing both. You're seeing both a bit of an increase in the effort and an increase in proportional catch. So that indicates to me that, yes, there's something there. What it is, I don't know. In terms of the increase just writ large, I would have said that without the addition of the 2017 data, this might be reflecting some of the abundances we saw in fall in some of the years, and that there were big buoy 10 returns. 2017 sort of not consistent with that notion.
Yeah, and I was
thinking, similar with the licenses, but
I was thinking that too. I think when you look at least with respect to, excuse me, with respect to the Washington angler trips, we clearly see recreational angler trips clearly see a correlation between, you know, returns. But 2017 here seems to go the other way on that, and so
It does.
I mean, why that would be, and then maybe one follow up. Does that present any management concerns for you folks in terms of managing the fishery?
So, trying to finish up the first a little bit. Yeah, the 2017's a bit of a flyer for me. We do sometimes see the year after, as things start to decline on the run size, a little bit of a holdover of, well, last year was pretty good, so I'm going to try it again. We do see some of that in some seasons. I don't want to claim that's what this is, because there's really no way to tell. That's a highly social, personal choice sort of issue that's really hard for me to get my head around. From a management standpoint, you know, we're able to monitor the catch. And intensive fisheries are by definition a little harder to manage to a lot harder to manage, depending on what it is. Hard for me to say what that proportional change across years does to that intensity, but as a general term, if your catch is going faster due to whatever reason, you have to react. And sometimes that can be problematic. That doesn't mean it is all the time, but it can. That's about the best I could do here. I mean, it has the potential to affect timelines if catch is going very quickly.
Thanks.
So,
Commissioner McKaysen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the same graph here exhibits some of the concerns that I've heard from the private sector constituents that I hear about, that talk a lot about the number of guide boats, how many fish the guide boats are catching, and that the seasons are getting shorter because there's too many guide boats. And everywhere I go, I see a guide boat and guide boat, guide boat, guide boat. So thank you for this presentation that does a little bit of ground truthing on this. If I look at this graph here, it looks like at buoy 10 then in 2012, maybe 10% of the effort and catch was by guide boats, and this last year now it's over 30%. So the catch by the guide boat fleet is three times larger than it was just a few years ago. And so the effort is also climbing, but not quite that large. So it starts to lend some credence to this concern from the regular private boat fleet that maybe the seasons are getting shrunk because there is such a growth in the guide boat catch. So I have two questions, one about guide license limitation and one about fishery control, if the commission's ever wanted to take a look at that. On the matter of guide license limitation, I understand in Washington now we do not have a limit on the number of guide licenses sold, other than charter boat licenses downstream from the Longview Bridge and in the ocean, where there is a license limitation that arose out of a similar concern, too many charter boats for what people felt was socially the right number. But I've heard in Oregon that there is a guide license limitation on the Deschutes River, and not sure about the rest. So my first question on the guide license limitation is it true there is a guide license limit for guiding on the Deschutes River, and that's all in the state of Oregon, and there is no limit on further expansion of the number of guide licenses sold, resident or non-resident, in Oregon?
Commissioner McIsaac, I'm fairly confident the answer to the second is there is currently no overall limit on the number of guide licenses issued. I honestly don't know the answer to the Deschutes specific question, and I don't know whether that is a assuming that that is correct, which I have no reason to really doubt it, because there are limitations of various types on the Deschutes, some of which are placed upon it by resource managers outside of the fisheries perspective in terms of controlling river trips and number of rafts and things like that. And so I'm not sure whether there's a limit on there at the guide level or at the access level. And I'm on a limb here on that one because I just don't know the answer.
Well, this may be anecdotal, but I did fish the Deschutes River this year in mid-September, and it is limited by the number of permits available that you have to apply for, not through the department, but for, and I can't remember if it's the DNR or another agency. And so the number of permits that are available for a given day restricts the number of boats that can be on the Deschutes River.
Yeah, there is definitely what I maybe term a traffic constraint permit.
Exactly.
There may also be something else, but I'm just not sure. I apologize, but I don't know.
Commissioner Buckner, Mr. Chairman, just to finish this line
of
questioning.
I'm sorry. I thought you were
right. So before I get to the fishery control one, question for Mr. Burley for Washington guide license limitation. In the surveys and the meetings with the guides, I thought I recall something about the Washington guides were in favor of a limit on new guide licenses or a limit on guide licenses. Is that true?
Thank you, Commissioner McIsaac. So at those public meetings, we did hear some support for limitations. We also heard some guides expressing concern for that. Where the department is focused on is gathering the information from the guide logbooks so that we can understand more broadly where those areas are where there is more intensive pressure so that we can have that conversation with the guide industry about the appropriateness of limiting those guide boats in those specific areas. And right now we don't have that information. We have anecdotal information from folks, but we don't have good solid information on where those areas are.
And then on the question of fishery control, in the state of Alaska, on the Kenai River, they had a similar situation where the number of guide boats was unlimited. The number of guide boats kept increasing. The private anglers complained about that. And as a matter of fishery control, there's now a situation where guide boats don't fish on one or two or three days a week, where private boats are allowed to fish 7 days a week when the season is open 7 days a week. And so I understand that in Oregon, the Fish and Wildlife Commission does not have authority on guide licenses, but they do have authority on fishing regulations. So the question is would it be true that the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission would have authority for fishery control like we've seen occur on the Kenai River in Alaska?
Commissioner McIsaac, I think that's an excellent question. I don't know the answer to, because it seems to get to some legal questions. We definitely have the authority to regulate the fisheries. So we would presume there's got to be probably some avenues there. But as a matter of absolute fact, I couldn't tell you without consulting the statutes and possibly DOJ as well to find out for sure.
I looked into the Deschutes issue, talked to, and I would invite our director to fill it in, because I was curious about that as well. And I understand that those licenses, those guide, that is regulated by the BLM. Is that right, director?
I think so. That's correct.
So that said, that is not a tool that we would have. If there's a desire to coordinate, to have similar objectives to managing fisheries vis-a-vis guides, I think Oregon is going to be presented with a more difficult choice of methods. We have limited methods that we could try. And as Chris says, I think if it's something we want to do, we're going to need to ask staff to talk to legal to find out exactly to what extent our authority lies. And that's something that if our chair wants to do, we can start that process, at least finding out what our list of potential options are.
Yes.
Thanks. If I could just add, I think looping in the Marine Board would probably also be productive. Based on my discussion with their staff, I know they've had some conversations about things like logbooks and area specificity and things like that would be helpful to the conversation. So depending on, you know, what y'all want to do, just add that to the list of things. It'd probably be a good idea.
Yes, Commissioner.
Just to make the point, this comes back to a question of concurrency. And usually in these kind of cases, those people who already have licenses often are in favor of a license limitation because they already have one. And so, but if Washington moved for a license limitation for guides, including the Columbia River, it wouldn't make much sense if Oregon did not do the same. We would need to have a concurrent approach to that if there was ever any desire to try to limit the amount of new guide licenses that are fishing on the river, particularly when you see the graph here on how many Washington residents are getting guide licenses, presumably downstream from the Longview Bridge, where they can't get a charter license. They can just get a Oregon guide license and fish in the same area. So it's another one of these concurrent these solutions. If there's going to be a solution, if there really is a concern that needs to be addressed, a concurrent solution is really the only one that makes sense.
Further questions? Discussion?
Well, we're not without the ability to work with you. If you have a rational basis for an action, we could take a vote and ask the Marine Board to implement that on our behalf. So Oregon, as a state, does have an opportunity to do that.
Yes.
If I just might make a clarification, the commission itself does not have the authority, my understanding is, to institute a limitation of guides. That's a statutory. That's the legislature would have to do that. I mean, we can certainly, as a commission, we could do a legislative request. Maybe you folks do the same thing, but, you know, we like to think we have a lot of power, but we don't have all the power. And when it comes to license limitations, we go to our elected representatives to handle that. So,
well said. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
So, be-